Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure, coming to you from Waikiki Beach. My wife always likes for me to start off the show with the sign of the cross in Hawaiian, so we will do that. Makai noa o ka makua ke keiki a me ke ohana hemalele. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have with our guest a warrior, Father Richard Heilman. We've had him on our show in the past. We don't usually have returning guests, but it's just to be able to reach out to a man like this and just to talk story with him is a powerful moment for us. So we'll be right back with Father Richard Heilman in the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Why do we call it the Bear Wozniak Adventure? Because each of us has an adventure that God has in store for us. It's beautiful. God says, I know what I have in store for you. Plans for peace, not destruction. A future reserved for you, full of hope. If you seek me, I will let you find me. And then he says this, if you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me. When he says a future reserved for you full of hope, I realize that when God taps me on the shoulder or the Holy Spirit gives me a little push in a direction that is his will, pursuing the true good, I know that if I say yes to his will, that he will provide the finances, he will provide the grace, he will provide the right help at the right time, he will provide the vision and the direction at the moment that I need it. And so our quest at our ministry is, in my personal creed, is that the most radical quest a man can pursue is to abandon himself to the wild adventure of God's will. To say to the Lord, thy will be done, is the most dangerous thing a man can do. Jesus taught his disciples that prayer when he taught them the Our Father. They say he taught that to him in a beautiful, tranquil place near a cave where he used to love to pray on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. But he also prayed that prayer on the Mount of Olives, right across the valley from where he would be crucified the next day. He said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So it is a very dangerous and very powerful prayer, because a man who prays that prayer is dangerous. We're talking with Father Richard Heilman, a very dangerous man. Aloha, Father. Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
It's great to be with you, Bear. I giggled when you said dangerous. I actually went to a pro-life gathering, and all the lefties got on the internet and said, we need to go out and protest because Father Rick Heilman's going to be there, and he's dangerous. And well, I pulled up in the parking lot, and there was a police car. I said, did you hear about this dangerous guy? And he smiled and said, so you're the very dangerous guy.
That is such a great story. Yeah. That's just so, it's so true, because when we bring us, we're bringing down principalities and powers. We're warring against the evil in high places, and we're doing that by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to do it. I was clowning around with our staff yesterday, and I said, you know, I'm going to actually make a T-shirt with a target on my back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm feeling it. But, and, you know, I'm smiling because I'm not, like, depressed or, you know, in the fetal position or anything like that. But it's true. If you dare speak up nowadays, you're dangerous, and inside and outside the church. And so it's tough. These are really, really challenging times, but times for warriors to rise up.
This isn't quite the same thing, but I remember when I was developing the world tour for tandem surfing, and surfers are like herding rabbits, you know, they're just really difficult. A lot of egos involved, but beautiful people. But as I was walking, you know, but I began to feel the pain, because when you do something new like that and on the world stage, and that, you know, you get a lot of the backstabbing. And I was walking by this big, beautiful catamaran on the beach in Waikiki, and the captain of the boat came down and said, hey, how's everything going? I go, that's great. We're having the world title in here in a month. And he goes, Do you know the saying that you can tell who the pioneers are because of all the arrows they have in their back? And yeah. It just gave me, it was funny, but he knew because he had done similar things. You know, he knew what it was like. Well, you take that to the world stage when you're talking about, you know, the whole countercultural nature of the Catholic Church. And I know, like, for example, you're heading out right after this meeting. This is a recorded show, so you've probably already done this, but you're heading out to Washington, D.C.
Right. And we've been going out there every year since 2016 and calling upon the whole nation to pray with us. We call that Rosary Coast to Coast, the whole nation. But
yes.
What we're doing out there is the National Rosary Rally. We call it kind of the anchor for all that. But at 3 p.m. on precisely October 7th, which this year happens to land on the first Saturday. So yes. We think that's significant. And just, I don't know, Bear, I don't know if you're among those I am, that just feels like things are like a volcano that's rumbling and it's ready to erupt right now. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
But it just feels like God needs to intervene. I think he's placed Our Lady out for us during these times, past couple hundred years for sure. And
Isn't that interesting that Our Lady in this time is making these appearances? And it seems like if Our Lady's making those appearances, John the Baptist should be coming along pretty soon. And then Jesus, right? I mean, we need men like you. We need the Elijah, spirit of Elijah, to proclaim the truth right now.
Interesting. I was born on June 24th, so the feast of the birthday of John the Baptist. So.
There you go. Yeah, the spirit of Elijah.
I'm not claiming to be a John the Baptist, but I surely love that guy dearly.
Yeah.
And do believe, you know, in his way of paving the way for the Lord and preparing souls. And I'm trying my best to do that. So. But it's interesting. So we're going to be praying the glorious mysteries. First of all, wait a minute. We're going to process from St. Peter's Church to the Supreme Court. Then we join up with the Men's March.
Now talk about this to the non-Catholic listeners. What do you mean by a process?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So we're going to actually take our Eucharistic Lord in what's called a monstrance, a beautiful golden vessel, and I'll be wearing special vestments for that, and we're going to process our Lord in the Holy Eucharist through the streets of Washington, D.C., and we're also going to have with us the Fatima statue, and we're going to have relics of about a dozen saints. So when the saints go marching in.
I love being with you. Hey, can I tell you something about that? A thought comes to me. Remember, was it Uzziah in the Old Testament when they were carrying? They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which is where the law and Aaron's rod and the manna was there, and above that the angels with their wings spread forward, the mercy seat, which is cool because the mercy seat sits above the law. But as they're carrying it, it looked like it might fall. And Uzziah, I think it was on a cart. They weren't really even carrying it like they were supposed to. And he reached out to steady that cart, and he was killed instantly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this presence of the Eucharist in the monstrance. We think, oh, no, what are we going to do? We got to help Jesus out here. You know, we get kind of panicky feeling. But the reality is my father was a deacon in, I know this sounds like I'm taking a long journey, but I'm taking it right back to what you were saying. My dad, it was a Catholic deacon in Lahaina, and he was a deacon at, and now we're going back to Mary too, at a church called Maria Lanaquila Church. During this recent tragedy, when Lahaina was totally burned to the ground, I mean, metal buildings, even buildings made out of cement were just collapsed and gone. They're just, everything's the color of gray. There's a church in the middle of that town, Maria Lanaquila. And the school burnt down, but the church didn't. Because
I saw that picture.
Yes, within that church is the Eucharist. Before we take this break, tell us, especially our non-Catholic listeners, and remind our Catholic listeners, why the Eucharist isn't a symbol of hope, but it's hope, it's himself.
Right.
It's the body, blood, soul, and divinity.
what an amazing gift we've been given. You know, this is my body, this is my blood. And you know, that's John 6, chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse. And I always think, too, Bear, that in verse 66, many of his disciples left him that day. And that's verse 666. And the division that we've had over believing or not believing it, that this is our Eucharistic Lord, is sad. But it happened right there in front of Jesus's face. And he turned to the first pope and said, "Are you going to leave me too? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life."
Yeah.
You know, so it just, we've, and this is the way I've been framing it lately too, because I'm using an expression. I actually have a t-shirt I made for myself. I didn't make it for anybody else. But it has the big word unite. And then at the bottom it says at the foot of the cross. But recently we were gathered out in front of Planned Parenthood.
Well, let me let you know.
Okay, I want to tell this story.
We're going to move right back. I don't want you to rush through it. We're talking with our friend, Father Richard Heilman. He's written so many great books. The one that we recommend to all of the men in our man cave is The Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Now you can journey with other men on the adventure of a lifetime, growing in manly virtue through Bear's Man Cave community and our 3-year School of Manliness. Join at deepadventure.com. Better yet, you can lead your own sons through the same compelling video, audio, and written content. Can you imagine how much deeper your relationship with your dad could have been, and how much more you could have learned and pitfalls you might have avoided if your dad had a tool like this to help to draw you both into a deeper, life-changing discussion? Now you have a trigger that you can pull that will take you into gritty discussions with other men and with your sons at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. You can gain traction in the virtues in my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. And you can be inspired by my personal testimony of heartache and triumph with my book, A Surfing Guide to the Soul, both newly published by Sophia and available at our web store, deepadventure.com, and also on amazon.com.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha. Welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I am really stoked because I have Father Richard Heilman with us. And Father Richard, I got to tell you, I got to give a little promo for myself because Sophia Publishing is telling me I got to do it. Everyone is telling me I got to do it, and I like doing it anyway. I have a new book out. It's called 12 Rules for Manliness. Where have all the cowboys?
I saw that.
Yeah.
Where are all the cowboys?
Yeah. Where have all the cowboys gone?
I saw that. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah. It's a really cool book, and it goes through 12 rules. There's probably more, but it really is. It you know what it is? It's grit and grace. You know, and it talks about, it's real like a man-to-man conversation. Some parts of it women may not want to listen to or may not even fully understand. But that's why women love the book, right? Because it gives them a peek behind the curtain, you know. But it's like a father to a son or a brother to a brother. And we get real and we get gritty in the book. And everyone that's reading it says that it's a life-changing book. And it's like you and Doug Barry, you know, wherever you guys are together, your show. Grace Force and your books are the same way. So invite everybody, go to Amazon.com, pick up Father Richard Heilman's, one of his books. The one we like the most is Special Forces, and get a copy of 12 Rules for Manliness. Ladies, our mama bears out there, you're not doing your job if you don't send a copy of these books to all the men in your life. I shouldn't say that.
For people doing a search, the full title is Church Militant Field Manual, and then subtitled Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ.
Yeah, and you have other books there too, and they all have this same sort of military.
It's grit and grace. I love that expression.
Yeah, it's grit. Yeah. You need both. You got to be tough, but you just can't. But being tough alone doesn't do it.
You can't do it without the power of God.
Yeah, you know? Amen. Hey, you know what? Yeah. This guy's a tough guy, but he lights up. So tell us about first.
I wanted to tell you about the whole uniting, and you know, you led it in by saying, you know, what is it about the Eucharist, and to especially our Protestant brothers and sisters, and that helped me remember that just last week we gathered for the beginning of 40 Days for Life, and the bishop was there with us too, and we had a beautiful gathering out there.
Is this in Madison? Is this in Wisconsin?
Yeah, Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah. And protesters came, and they've come in the past, you know, and they were forming down the street, and I'm going, good, they're down the street. But then as we were starting, they processed toward us, but they got the megaphones out, and the most vile and just vulgarities and mocking us for believing in God. I mean, we all said this. We've been out in front of Planned Parenthood for 40 years or whatever it's been, and we've never seen anything like this. The bishop said that too. He'd never seen anything like this. But we had set up a pickup truck, and they were standing right next to it. It was right there across the street. We were going to use it like as a stage with speakers. Mm. And one of our leaders said, well, we should go over there and, you know, shout them down. And both Bishop and myself said, no, that'll only incite us. And then Bishop said, huddle up. And that took me back to football days.
I love that, dude. Yeah, you played. Yeah, we talked about that. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So huddle it up, he says. And we got close in. And, you know, over our shoulder is coming this vile vulgarity, you know, all this stuff, this demonic stuff. But we were in there and we're praying the glorious mysteries of the rosary. And it was just so peaceful amidst that assault and that attack. Mm. And it made me think again about how that's what we do, Bear. Mm. That's what we do. And I preached on it this past weekend. And I said, huddle up. We got to huddle up. And then I brought back that expression I like, unite at the foot of the cross. And I look back, and we have these enormous crosses in the two churches I preached at this weekend. And yes. What's at the foot of the cross? The Blessed Sacrament, mm-hmm. the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're uniting. And mm-hmm. that's really what the Eucharist is meant to be. It's a place where we come together. We get as well connected as we possibly can be to Christ, but then to each other as a family. We're a mm-hmm. family.
Mm-hmm. And it's the Eucharist it's the Eucharist that does two things. It's the dividing point and it's the uniting point.
Yep. And well, I grew up, my grandmother and then my mom took over after my grandmother got older, but they always had the Sunday dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and got the whole family together. Bear, that's what we're doing. You know, and I don't want to, you know, lessen the glory and the majesty of what happens in the Holy Eucharist, but we are a family. Yes. You know, we're God's children, and we're getting together for Sunday dinner, but it's the Son of God that we're consuming, and hopefully too, we prepared well for that dinner. We went to confession, we got our soul right, so it's a fitting dwelling place for the Lord. Anyway. So yeah, so that's what the Eucharist is as we bring it down the streets of Washington, D.C., is it's a uniting point. And it's saying here, you know, this is the truth, you know, and the truth will set us free. You know, we're slaves right now, aren't we, Bear? What's going on in the culture? And
well, if we let ourselves be.
Yes.
You know, I'll say this lately. I hear men complaining. Oh, they've relegated us. There's attack against us. There's you know, they make fun of us. You know, they're taking away our roles. They're even taking away our gender. That all sounds to me like a very weak victim.
Yep.
You know,
it
happens because we let it happen. Oh, the women are taking over the church. But you personally, young man, you personally, gentlemen out there, that's not you. You hold your ground, and you take new.
Oh, now here I thought you were calling me a young man.
Yeah. Yes. You men, you're out there. Everyone has always said, Father Richard, he's really out there. So, but it's true. Jesus is a dangerous man because he invaded It's an invasion. Yep. You know, where thy kingdom come. That sounds like an invasion of someone else's turf. And so, of course, you know, people tell me, hey, when you're out filming Long Ride Home, did you guys ever come under spiritual attack? And I go, never, not even once. What? No, because I'm on the attack. We're on the attack. We may face resistance, like those the knuckle draggers that were trying to shout you down. You're on the attack and you're facing resistance. But Jesus, the Bible calls Satan the great dragon. In another place, it calls him, I love this, the fleeing dragon. Because he's already been defeated. Oh, my wife's bringing me some water. Thank you, honey. The fleeing dragon, you know, he's been defeated. And we just get to be part of that army. But you know what? It's a very weak thing, don't you think? When, you know, I mean.
Got to be careful. I know exactly what you're saying there, but we've got to be careful. Because, and here's an expression I always use, if we say he's defeated, then we can go shopping and golfing. You know what I mean?
Oh, fix that for me.
No, we're called upon. This is our time. We were born at this moment in history. What are we going to do about it? And again, the compulsion was to shout back at those protesters, but we didn't. There were TV cameras there, and I hope they captured this too. But this image of such utter peace and this other image right across the street of vile, diabolical rage.
Of Moloch and Baal, right? I mean, it's satanic.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and you know what helps me recall, too? You talk about we're going to be processing our Lord through the streets of Washington, D.C. Do you remember the Summer of Love?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. That's when all hell broke loose. Yeah,
all hell broke loose. Well, you know what we decided to do in Madison, Wisconsin? We decided to do exactly what we did in Washington. We're doing in Washington, D.C. We got people together, and everybody was afraid to go outside. If you remember at that time, you know, all the stores were boarded up, and all the vulgarity on the spray paint on the boards and on the stores were there. And we took our Lord, and I think about 3,000 people showed up there. Mm. It was unbelievable. And we processed our Lord down State Street in Madison up to the state capitol. And it was shocking to me, the response there, because there were onlookers on the side literally crying, sobbing, because they were so touched by the Prince of Peace coming by them. And it was such a sign of hope in their dire fear that they were in right then. That's what the tears were all about at that time. Thank you for bringing this peace.
Yes.
Go ahead.
A couple of things. Well, first, I have seen video from, maybe 10 years ago, a flash mob. You remember the flash mob thing? Yep. Where suddenly, it happens here in Waikiki. Everybody's just relaxing, and suddenly, and people are kind of there gathering at the beach, and suddenly someone turns on music and 100 people stand up and start dancing, you know?
Yep.
Well, yep. I saw these videos of these priests walking down the street with the monstrance, and suddenly flash mob. You know, when they raised the monstrance, everybody just, so many people just knelt right below them, right there, wherever they were standing. It wasn't a planned thing. It just happened. You know, when women will tell me, don't you love those women when you go into church that are there 20 minutes early and they're praying the rosary and they're by themselves usually?
That was my mom.
Yeah, and my grandmother. But, you know, you look at that, women will ask me, what can I do? I gotta reach my husband. I got to reach my son. What can I do? I mean, I pray the rosary, but what can I do? It's like that is it. Yep. you're doing the work. By picking up your weapon and praying.
You know, I want to make a connection here too, because we're told, what can I do? Well, go to church and receive Jesus. Okay, I'll do that. But what's that going to make me do? Now, we're talking about moms. We're talking about the women praying the rosary. We're talking about my mother, my grandmother, who did what? Who worked diligently to build a family, and not just in their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
When I grew up, my parish was such an awesome family. I mean, we knew everybody, and we got together, and we worked on stuff. So listeners, please, here's what you do. Build family wherever you are. Let the Holy Eucharist ignite a fire in you so that you draw people, unite at the foot of the cross, but as what? As a family. You'll get to know each other, take care of each other. you know, work together with each other. You know, that's what it's all about. That's in essence what we're called to do.
You know, I was talking to my wife the other day. There's this illustration. You know, they say, well, we're talking about inviting couples to go sailing with us on this boat, just to come and just have a private retreat on this sailboat. We're thinking about doing that. And she said, well, we're not going to do marriage retreats, are we? And I go, no, I don't think I want to do that. I don't have that call. But I did say, you know, if we invite people on the boat and they have they themselves have a personal retreat, the couple has a personal retreat, and gets closer to Jesus. If you put three dots on a piece of paper, the one at the top being Jesus and the two at the bottom, as those two get closer to Jesus, they get closer to each other too. And that's what you're saying, yeah. Unite. If we focus on Jesus, and Jesus said, don't think that I've come. Oh, we got to take a break. We're talking with Father Richard Heilman. It's already time. Right. We'll be right back with more, and we're going to talk more about his book, The Field Manual, Special Forces. Can't read it because it's so dark. Special Forces Training for the Life in
Christ.
In Christ. Good, that emphasizes him. Okay, we'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We invite our mama bears to join with us at deepadventure.com. You'll have access to all of the Long Ride Home TV shows even before they air on EWTN, plus 3 years of the shareable Ocean Sunrise Daily Catechism videos, plus at deepadventure.com a 20% discount at our online store with all of our great t-shirts and clothes and books and rosaries and medals and all kinds of accessories. You'll also get an autographed copy of Bear's latest book, and for a limited time, a Catholic biker stuffed teddy bear, all at deepadventure.com. Come on, Mama Bears, let's hear you roar. Did you know that each Saturday morning you can receive the shareable YouTube video version of the Bear Wozniak Adventure in our inspiring weekly newsletter, even before it airs on the radio or hits the podcast apps? Never miss another episode. You can even binge watch Bear's inspiring guests. Think about the impact you can have sharing these videos with your friends. Go to deepadventure.com and click the subscribe button.
Be the kind of man that when he gets out of bed in the morning, the devil says, oh no, he's up. Go to deepadventure.com and invite Bear to speak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to invite you to go to our YouTube channel, the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. So many things are going on there. We have the entire catechism where I spent 2.5 years teaching for about 10 to 15 minutes every morning. And usually I was down at the beach going through line by line of the catechism, kind of a refreshing sort of view of the catechism. We also have all of our radio. We have about 500 of our radio shows, the video version of it, up on our YouTube channel. And then we have these cool things called Adventures in Paradise, where Cindy and I just talk story from time to time on our living here in Hawaii or when we're sailing. So go and become a member. We have these new videos we're doing right now called, I guess they call them YouTube Shorts, based on my new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? My wife's a cowgirl. I'm just a surfer. But she's got me all dudeed up wearing cowboy clothes, and I sit and I read from some of the book, and we talk story about some of that new book. So go to the YouTube channel and please subscribe, and you can even become a member. And if you'd like to, you can even give us a gift right there on the site. We're talking with Father Richard Heilman and talking about his book, The Church Militant Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ. Did I get it right?
Yep.
Okay, so we're talking about the Eucharist and the power of prayer. In the cultural battle that we're facing, you know, people will tell me, all these things are going on. You know, the cancel culture is doing this. They have all kinds of conspiracy things to tell me about it. Maybe they're true. I don't know, but they go into all these things, and I go, well, you're really dwelling on a lot of bad things, but what good is all that? What are you telling me? What should I do? Well, you just need to know what's going on. And I'm not saying it very well, but there's kind of this way of this inward downward spiral of focusing on problems. And But instead of doing that, yes, we know there's a conspiracy. A third of the angels were kicked out of heaven. You know, there's a yep. there's a battle going on in the spiritual and in the natural realm. But what should our response be to that? Just to get more worried? Go ahead.
Yeah. You hope that when people face crisis, that somehow provokes an awakening. Because again, and that's an expression that I use all the time, otherwise we go shopping and golfing. We get back into our worldly lives. We get locked into it. A recent gospel passage was Jesus says, "Follow me." Well, can I go bury my father? And can I go say goodbye? You know, and it's a little bit, I think it's hyperbole there. You know, you're going to bury your father. But we find every reason in the world to not do the missions that God is calling us to do. And they're oftentimes noble reasons, you know, why we can't do the missions of Jesus Christ. Well, I got to feed my family. Well, I got to, we can find anything we want. And so we got to go shopping because we got to put food on the table. And, you know, I got to need some relaxation time golfing. And I'm all for relaxation time. I'm just kind of using it as an example. But the point is that's where we're at right now. That's why we're weak. And that's why we're getting defeated. We won't be defeated ultimately, but we are losing right now. Okay. And the devil just is laughing at us. Well, that huge mob that showed up like we've never seen before at Planned Parenthood, they just feel emboldened right now. This is our time. You know, you sit down or, you know, and then you'll get canceled, you know, and again, by inside or outside the church because, you know, you're dangerous and we're in control now. All of that is going on bare right now because we're shopping and golfing in essence, because we got other things to do. And so the crisis, and I think God allows these at times. You remember 9/11? You know, at least for a time, the churches were jammed. You know, we faced a crisis together. And what did we do? We fell to our knees and we wanted to get closer to God and we called upon God for his help. You know, I think sometimes that's why God does allow things like this. And so that's what I'm, and so all that said, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm not giving up on humankind, but I'm telling you right now, we are locked into the gods of our comfort right now, and it's hard to break from. Follow me, as Jesus is saying. No, wait a minute. I gotta watch this TV show, and I gotta play this video game. I gotta, you know, whatever. I'm hoping we get an awakening.
You know, in my book, I talk about this. Abraham Lincoln was was asking about a general to see, is this someone that I should promote? And they said, oh, you should see, when adversity comes, this man is tough as nails. He goes, well, tell me what he's like when there is an adversity. Because most of society today, whether we like to complain about, oh, life is so hard, taxes are so hard. No, you've got it easier than anyone has ever had it in the history of mankind. Even the poorest person is wealthier than anyone, just about anybody in the past. What do you do in a time of ease?
But that's at risk right now. There's a lot of things going on.
But
at risk.
But people who are relative, you know, they have time on their hands, so they're playing computer games, pornography, right. Like you say, golfing. We have it relatively easy right now. But you know, but then suddenly, there's a problem. It's like someone training in martial arts. You know, why are you training in martial arts? You probably never need it. Well, hopefully not. But will you prepared in the day that comes? So how do we prepare?
Yeah.
What's our spiritual life?
We're on the feast of St. Francis of Assisi when we're recording right now. And I actually, one of my favorite teachings that's drawn from St. Francis of Assisi, if you notice the I call them monks, they prefer to be called friars, but monk is just short for monastic. But anyways, they wear the brown robe, right? And then they have this rope around their waist with three knots hanging down. And I think it's one of the most powerful teachings of how to be prepared. So to such an extent where I don't think I'm going to go, you know, over to the grocery store with a rope around my waist, you know, and knots hanging down. But, you know, I've made one, and I've actually made it in military green.
I have the.
You got one?
Well, I have the ancient Greek fathers, the rope prayer, the Jesus prayer. Yeah.
But this
on
is
my wrist.
This is a rope with three knots on it, and the three knots on the friars, the monks' rope, represent what's called the Evangelical Councils or the Councils of Perfection, And that is drawn from the teachings of Saint Francis, because obviously the friars are reading it, are wearing it. But let me just tell you that I wrote a little bit about it, and here's what I said. There are actually three wounds that ravage souls and bring spiritual death to them by turning away from God. Actually, this is a clip from my book, The Church Militant Field Manual. Saint John speaks of these evils when he says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," which is craving sexual gratification, sensual gratification, "the lust of the eye," greeting longings for the of the mind, "and the pride of life," assurances in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, "these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. This is a triple slavery, which replaces the original harmony, and it is order overthrown. And Christ came to restore that order, and then brought through Saint Francis and the Franciscans and all that, these beautiful teachings of the counter to these three wounds, you know, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. That was it, flesh, and then the pride of life. So the first one, real quick, is poverty. So that's the first knot, right, on the rope that they wear and what I'm wearing around my wrist. But it doesn't mean that we have to do what St. Francis did and just, you know, give away all our stuff. It just means that the stuff can't have us, okay? Mm. And it's just what we got done saying before, too. We're so addicted to our stuff that it becomes our gods, and it has priority over God, okay, in our lives. So I'll get to God when I get around to it. And, you know, I go to church on Sunday. I punch the clock. I put my finger in the holy water font when I come in and put it when I come out. You know, so you're kind of going through the motions. But no, it's a readiness to just be it's being detached from all the stuff. Again, you can have it, but it can't have you. And then chastity is obviously, and especially in our times, right, with the cell phone and pornography and everything. I mean, the accessibility of that, and it's become almost normalized to cheat on your wife or have sex before marriage, or it's pandemic right now, and we're called to be pure. And we're called to be true to whatever state of life we're in. That's chastity. And then the other one, the last one, is obedience. And it's probably the big one. That counters pride of life. And it's just a commitment to listen to God through meditation on scripture and the teachings of the church. That's divine revelation. And we just had this scripture passage. This was on the feast of St. Francis, where he said, "Come to me, all you are weary and find life burdensome, and you'll find rest for your souls." Rest? What are you talking about? You're dying on a cross. You want us to pick up our cross? Well, no. When you love the one you're serving, the one you're obeying, it's easy.
Yes.
It really is. Yes. Because of course I want to please you. Of course I love you so much. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. You know, and that's what he meant. What he meant by that: "For my yoke is easy and my burden light," he said. Really? Well, yeah, if you don't love the person and you're made to do it and you're trying to bring home a paycheck and you hate your job, that's different than you're totally in love, like your spouse, you know?
Whatever I can do for you,
I can't wait to do it. I love doing things for you,
yes.
Right? Yes.
We're talking with Father Richard Heilman, his book, The Church Militant Field Manual. You got to tell me the small print. I can't read it. The printer came up.
Oh, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ.
We'll be right back with more with Father Richard
Heilman.
I actually
have a big book here.
Oh, you're cheating. No, I love those.
Yeah, I'm cheating.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
People love our EWTN TV show, Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak. Thanks to you, the show has won 4 different Tally Awards. And now, instead of waiting each week for the next episode to air, you can actually binge watch our show and even share it with your friends when you go to deepadventure.com and join the Mama Bears or the Man Cave. Along with all the other benefits, you get total access to all the seasons of our aired episodes, plus instant access to episodes that won't even air for several months. Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, a great way to communicate the gospel in a gritty enough way that even tough men will stop and watch at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support.
Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to NotreDameFCU.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible.
When you go to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel, you get access to all of our free playlists, including hundreds of episodes of the Bear Wozniak Adventure, plus the three-year journey through the whole catechism in our Ocean Sunrise Catechism series. And you even get short clips and live streaming of Bear and Cindy's Adventures in Paradise videos. Go to YouTube and subscribe to the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure channel.
Still listening? I thought we warned you to change to an easy listening station. Well, you asked for it. Here is more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to remind you the new series, Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, the motorcycle immersive reality show, award-winning show, by the way. It's won several Telly Awards. We've just released season four. It'll probably be our final season. To EWTN. It's all filmed, 11 episodes filmed in Hawaii. You can get access to all 33 episodes, all four seasons, when the mama bears join or the men join the man cave at deepadventure.com. So we invite you to go there and check it out. And the new season should be coming up too on Prime Video soon. They just seem to take their time getting things launched. But we're talking with Father Richard Heilman and his book. Church Militant Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ.
Here's the big
print. There it
print.
Is. Yeah, I love that. And there's a smaller version one, and we have that available on our website.
Yeah.
If people want to get it, or they can get it, go to Amazon.com and get it. So the thing it goes back to this is that we can get caught up in work and we can get caught up in leisure, but God wants us to devote that time to Him. And you think about the liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the hour, it all means work.
Yep.
You know, the work of the people is what that literally means. And yep. Jesus said, the Father and I, even now we work. And when He was young, and they say He was lost in the temple, He wasn't lost. He said, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house, or I'd be about my Father's business? God has work for us. How do people discern what it is God is calling them to in this season? You talked about how it seems like a volcano is about to erupt, and we need to how do people discern, what can I do, Lord?
What, you know, I always send me, Lord. I always go back to that amazing scene where Jesus is in the living room of Martha and Mary. The Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is in the living room of Martha and Mary, and Martha is a special guest is here. We've got to work on the hospitality, which is what you do. It's a noble thing to do, you know. And what does Mary do? She just stops. She throws herself at the feet of Jesus. She gets as close as she appropriately can, and she locks eye to eye with Him, and she hangs on His every word. She's in adoration, right? I like to say she's marinating. You know, she's soaking in everything that Jesus wants to give her. You know, we need that time. And then Martha's like, tell her to help me. And Martha, you're anxious and upset about many things. Mary has chosen the unum necessarium, the one thing necessary. And that is to get as close as we can possibly get to our Lord. And then when you have that kind of connection and fall that deeply in love, then He's going to say, follow me. And you're going to say, I'm there. And you're going to jump. And what He's going to ask you to do something, you're going to jump. And you're not going to do it because it's work drudgery. It's work joy. This is awesome.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Because we work. You know, work is a blessing.
Yeah.
Even in heaven,
when you're in love,
to have work. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
When you're in love, when you're, you know, for my wife, I look for ways to take care of her, to please her.
Exactly.
And she does for me. And with a child.
Yeah, she just got your water.
Yeah, you're right. And sparkling water. She knew I needed that when I'm doing my shows. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And she's a cowgirl.
And she's a cowgirl. That's right.
Yeah. You hit the lottery, my friend.
Yeah, oh, I did. Yeah. And she's my tandem. Yeah. We met on a tandem surfboard, you know.
Nice.
I lift her when we surf. Yeah. But that's it. There's nothing, my getting up at 4 in the morning to work to provide for us is nothing but
joy.
Yeah.
Utter joy.
Yeah. So the beautiful thing about that too is, you know, we were riding our motorcycles in season one of Long Ride Home, and we had Grady Dyke constantly. I don't know why, but I said, hey, Grady Dyke, whenever we interview you at some point, put your finger up into the sky and just say one thing. And from taking it from Slim, I think it was Slim who said that in the what was that? The old TV show where all the guys go run with the bulls. I forget the City Slickers. And I said, just imitate Slim and just put your finger up in there and just say one thing. So through the whole show, we were saying one thing. He keeps saying that whenever we talk to him. And I still don't know why. But then Tony and I, we left the pack. We had ridden from Florida to the middle of Texas. They all went back. Tony and I kept riding. We go through to Arizona. I don't know if you've ever seen, but there's about 400 miles of signs that say the thing is 400 miles away. The thing is 222 miles away.
Oh,
and there's this little place, a little gas station with kind of a souvenir shop, and it's called The Thing. And so Tony points to the sign. He goes, maybe that's what Grady was talking about. We go running in. And The Thing is you run through all the – you go through all these weird museum things that they found in Arizona desert and weird stuff. And you go all the way to the back. And then in there, way, way, way back there is this thing they call The Thing. And I can't tell you what it is. But then I asked Father Mark Goring to send us a video about the one thing. And it was that quote. There is only one thing necessary. You know,
that's not right.
You know, it's the one thing. And that's why I go back to this. The liturgy of the hour is our most essential work. The liturgy of the Mass is our most essential work. Liturgy meant like public works in Latin. It was like you're going to build a building for the public, you know, a library or something. So when my dad became older and feeble and he could no longer preach homilies, you know, as a deacon, I said, Dad, you're doing your most important work. I said, how often do you sit and pray and read? All the time. He was ministering to the Lord.
Yep.
That's our most important work first.
Yeah, and it made him the special, loving warrior that he was. That energy in him that needed to burst out into action, whatever.
Yeah, he was, well, you know what his action was? It reminded me so much of the Apostle John, the beloved. He would just say, children, love one another. As my dad, this tough, gnarly, 6'4" dude, as he got older, when he would go to Mass, he would just give out holy cards to the children and just say, you're beautiful, God made you the way you did. You know, go ahead, tell me.
That's John the beloved.
Yeah, yeah, it's the beloved. Oh, right. Okay.
That's the statue right there.
Oh, it is. Yep. Oh, how beautiful. Yeah.
I actually was given that during COVID because I was referring to John the Beloved because I just felt like we were reenacting the scene where 10 of the disciples abandoned him. One of them betrayed him, but one stayed where? United at the foot of the cross. And I just felt like when we closed everything down and everything, we were not uniting at the foot of the cross. I wasn't feeling good about that.
You know, it was like most of the Christians said, well, we can worship in our home. We can worship, you know, out surfing. We can. Right. But Catholics, we long for the Eucharist.
Right.
That's different for Catholics. Yep. We need to be with our priest and be together.
And again, it gets back to the unum necessarium. It's she's choosing the one thing necessary. That's really what the Mass is, that you're coming and you're getting as close as you can possibly get. Wait a minute, you're actually ingesting the Son of God inside of you. I mean, that's what an amazing gift we have been given. And then to be, then I no longer am me, I'm Christ for the world, you know. So anyway, it's
beautiful, Father. It's like every athlete knows, I know you're an athlete. Every athlete knows you are what you eat.
Yep.
And, you know, my wife said something so beautiful. We're reading Genesis, and the Bible says, thou shalt not eat of the fruit of this tree. But then she said, Jesus said, you must eat. Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you can have no life in you. So it went from you shall not eat to you must eat. You must receive the Eucharist.
I wanted to read something real quick that Pope Benedict said, and it's right at the beginning of my book. He says, we are facing a profound crisis of faith, a loss of the religious sense that constitutes the greatest challenge to the church today. The renewal of faith must therefore take priority in the commitment of the entire church in our time. And I know you're committed to that, Bear. I am too. But I believe the place where we're united is at the foot of the cross, and that's where the tabernacle is, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that? There's a beautiful crucifix in virtually every church, and we're uniting right there at the foot of the cross to become not only united but ignited in the fire of the Holy Spirit, and so that we can be sent out, you know, and light up this world from that point. And
well said.
Yeah, and I want to say this too, real quick, is that I am a fervent believer that we need to recover, revive, whatever you want to call it, the sense of the sacred in the holy sacrifice, the Mass. We're mere mortals, Bear. And so when I go into it, I was just in one this morning, St. Nativity of Mary in Janesville. You walk into this church and your heart just starts pounding. I mean, the sacred beauty of that old church, it's late 1800s, I don't know when it was built, but in the stained glass windows and the arches, and what do you do then? You walk in, you go, God's here. God's here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're just overwhelmed, and that's the architecture and art, but you know, the music, but the sacred offering of the Mass, and that's what's going to open people up to be Mary at the feet of Jesus, adoring Him. Mm. Right.
We've been talking with Father Richard Heilman. We got to head out. Father Richard is heading to catch a plane to go to D.C. For his pro-life work there. Father, where can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
I'm at RomanCatholicMan.com is my teaching website, but my spiritual warfare website is USGraceForce.com. Go there and join and list. We're bigger than the Coast Guard right now. And so
yeah, that's
we're,
cool.
We're 75,000 enlisted.
And listen into the Grace Force podcast. Yeah. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Find more manly conversation at the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. Subscribe and ring the bell.